Welcome to the Persephone program. Today is January 30th, 2024, and I wanted to talk a little bit about bringing the astrology of 2024 down to earth, that is, applying it. I know that astrology can be, you know, this intellectual exercise, and if you're listening to this podcast, you may be used to letting people's words or concepts or ideas about astrology kind of like wash through you. They are experiences or ideas that stay firmly in the head. I know that happens often for myself. So what I love to do is bring astrology down to earth, bring conceptual ideas down to earth through application. I've been meaning to podcast for a while, a couple weeks since I did the 2024 podcast with Brooke Albrego, and I've been contemplating, what should I talk about? Why do I feel the need to create output when I've been firmly in contemplative mode? But today, I received an email from a clothing company called The Philosopher's Shirt. And it's a really funny clothing company that basically creates shirts with quotes from famous philosophers. And I had sent a t-shirt to my son, Nick, who is a philosophy geek at one point. Anyway, so I get their spam. And the one today was about Immanuel Kant. And his, I guess, idea or concept that he calls a thing in itself. And the idea or concept is that he said that philosophy is when you add the term itself to anything you say. And the more often you use it, the more philosophier it is. And the idea here is that Kant was saying that there's a reality that exists beyond human perception, perhaps an ultimate truth hidden behind the veil of our senses. That elusive reality or truth is called the thing in itself, or as in German, Ding und Sich. And the idea here is that things exist whether or not we can see them, feel them, or touch them. And the idea is that our perception is like a filter, and it alters and shapes reality to fit into our limited understanding. It's a filter in the same way that we actively can, say, filter our Instagram photos or what have you. But the thing in itself represents the fact that there is an unfiltered, unadulterated reality that exists beyond our perception. And that connected me with something that I had wanted to podcast on, which is in many ways kind of astrology versus science, materialist reality, materialism, reductiveness, you know, saying that things don't have any meaning, you know, outside things don't have any meaning. And if we think about astrology as a meaningful interpretation of astronomy and an organizing system or language for archetypal or foundational energies experience through some form of a sympathy or synchronistic correspondence between the cosmos and life on Earth, we see that there is this thing that exists no matter what, whether we understand the mechanism for it, whether we are paying attention to it or not, it still exists. It works with what the ancients called the sympathy of all things, the idea that everything is both individual, that is your subjective consciousness in your life is your own, but it's also connected. I mean, we do understand in quantum physics something called quantum interconnectedness, which means that under particular circumstances, subatomic particles are always in some form of intimate connection with each other, no matter how far apart they are, no matter what. We know that in quantum physics, subatomic particles don't have any fixed position and they change according to observation. So that kind of gives you the idea that in a real sense, the universe is actually organized so that it can potentially influence everything else. Okay, that being said, to bring the astrology of 2024 down to earth is by saying there are some major events happening in the general cosmos, okay, that are touch points or energetic connections, and they are going to happen whether you believe in it or not, whether you pay attention to it or not, but I want to tell you how you can. And the number one, obviously, way that you can pay attention is by paying attention to yourself and your life, and then by paying attention to your astrology. If you know anything about your chart, if you know anything about astrology, you understand the planets are archetypal energies. They have particular expressions that they express themselves through. That is the zodiacal signs. And that has a, if we're making a or creating a natal chart, that has a pinpoint of a where, like where is this archetypal energy going to be expressed in a particular way, and where in your life is it? And that is the kind of like foundation of reading a chart, right? Understanding, here's an energetic force, there's a style this force is going to express itself through, and then there's also a place that it will, both in a natal chart, kind of as a theme throughout your life, and then via a transit chart, which is what we're talking about right now, via like what is happening right now, what's moving around you energetically right now, and how can you bring that energy down to earth by observing it? And also, similar to, I think, that quantum interconnectedness, you can observe something and observe it in a particular way that can be changed somewhat. You're still going to have to experience the archetypal energy, but it doesn't have to necessarily be, you know, a horrendous thing or an outrageously, you know, insane thing. It can be tailored to the perception that you have, the particular instinctive perception that you have, but also to your now conscious perception. Okay. So that being said, looking at your chart and having your own astrological chart and knowing something about your chart is the way that you begin. Okay. When you look at your astrological chart, you'll notice there's a circle with a little cross in the middle, 12 pizza pie looking slices, looks like a clock. It's a symbol of wholeness. It's a symbol of energies contained within you that you have free will to work with and play with, right? To observe, and potentially, you know, mold. That being said, if you create a transit chart, or you even just know right now where the current position of planets are and where your own natal chart lies, you'll be able to see what energies are influencing you at any particular time. For instance, say you have a chart at 1 degree of Aquarius ascendant, okay? So maybe you're, you know, a sun in Leo. You have an early degree Aquarius ascendant. And, you know, you'll have to get your astrological chart done. You'll have to do it. You can do it for free at astro.com, many other websites. And you'll have to know, you'll have to use your time as well as the latitude and longitude of the place to get your point, your angles, right? That's what's necessary to create a birth chart, both the time and the place. So if you have that and you're able to create a chart, and let's just say it's 1 degree Aquarius, you were, you know, born in the middle of North America. Perhaps you have a, you know, because you have an Aquarius chart, you have a Leo. Leo is the ruler of your seventh house. We have Taurus, the ruler of your fourth, and we have Scorpio, the ruler of your 10th. So let's just say it's 1 degree, okay? Right now, transiting Pluto is hovering at 0 degrees of Aquarius. It is essentially conjoined with your ascendant. We note that, okay?
Right now, because we know what's happening right now, and anyone can download time passages and look at the current position of the planets. So we know that we are our ascendant, that is our rising sign, our personality, and our physical body is experiencing this sort of energetic shadow of Pluto. And Pluto's going to be there for a long time. This is a long moving planet. But when it hits, any time the planets hit any of the angles of your chart, that is the cusp of your first, fourth, seventh, and tenth, that cross in your chart, things happen in your life. It is the initiation point or the initiatory point, okay? External transiting planets bring their energy to you. They're not, although you have their energetic force within you innately, they also visit you and they visit different areas or aspects of your astrological chart. So say you have early Aquarius ascendant, they're visiting you. So their themes are visiting you. And if you observe the connection between that and what's going on in your life, you'll be able to make that correlation and therefore potentially lean into their lesson, okay? Pluto's lesson is it's going to take away everything that you thought, or it's going to test everything that you thought made you strong, made you powerful, and perhaps take some things away that don't work. You know, in the same way that because this is a boundary planet, an endings planet, it's like it's going to test whether everything is sound. What is unsound will be destroyed, so to speak. And what is sound will be replaced after a while. And sometimes the unsound things that Pluto wants to have you forced to look at or deal with are things that may have been sound in the past, but they are no longer appropriate to your evolutionary future. And that's why Pluto is what's considered to be an evolutionary planet, because it forces us to grow through a, you know, death and rebirth experience. It may not be literal death. It may just be an experience where you are confronting something that you would be horrified before to confront. It may be that you are confronting something having to do with endings and boundaries and new beginnings. You know, some people are absolutely horrified by the idea of moving, let's just say, or changing their life. I have heard Plutonic stories where, you know, someone said, I had to move out of my house. And that was like the worst thing that ever happened to them. I had to travel across the country and, you know, and face living in a whole new place. Whereas for other people, that could be immensely exciting and rejuvenating. For some people, it is horrifying. Regardless, the big issue for all of us is that I want you to look at where you have Pluto, you know, 0 degrees to maybe even 3 or 4, maybe even up to 5, and find that in your astrological chart. It could be in the middle of a house. You'll be able to identify it by house, see if there are any planets that aspect it. That's where you're going to have to confront this year and in the next few years an issue of facing fears, facing something that is, you know, scary. It could be endings in your life and new beginnings. It's a big point. The other piece with this year is the Uranus and Jupiter conjunction. Now, I want to also say that if you do have, you know, an early Aquarius ascendant, say, that we've got Jupiter making aspects to your ascendant and has been for some time. But Jupiter and Uranus are going to conjoin in Taurus. Now, it'll be late degree, like 20 to 21 degrees or so. But look for that. Where is that in your astrological chart? If you have an early degree Aquarius ascendant, a Jupiter Uranus conjunction would be in your third house, close to your fourth house cusp, right? Or be or your fourth house, you know. So where is it? Find it in your astrological chart.
you're going to have the potential to rebirth yourself there. There is a renaissance energy. There is new ideas, sudden change, illuminations, that feeling of, you know, revolution, evolution. Uranus is very evolutionary, but it creates evolution not through like Pluto's, like facing a hard ending and creating a new beginning from it, but it faces it by breaking free. There's this aspect of freedom, insight, illumination, new ideas. There's a lot of energy there for you. Find where you have, I'd say, mid to late degrees of any of the fixed signs, which are Taurus and Leo and Scorpio and Aquarius. You're going to have some real potential to push through on something new this year. So find that. Really, the massive energy we've got, you know, we had the Sun conjunct Pluto in January on January 20th, mid-February, we're going to see some pretty interesting lineups, but it's April that is going to be the massive energetic month. So April 20th, it's a threshold. Where is this happening? Now, this is going to sort of open a door. Don't think that it's just, you know, starts and ends on April 20th, it doesn't. It's the event is then, and there are ripples that are already forming backwards in time right now to you and forwards in time. And it's a door opening. And this is going to be honest with you, this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, it really is going to be in play for the next 14 years, at least until the next Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. So, which will be in Gemini. So think about where you can revolutionize your life. Where is it in your astrological chart? Is it in, you know, if you have a, say you have like a 10 degree Taurus rising, it's going to be, you know, like in your first house, close to your second, but it's probably going to be in your first house, right? So you can revolutionize how you approach everything in your life. It can be your personality. It can be how you want to break free from, you know, and if you have a Taurus ascendant, you definitely need to break free from any kind of like old habits and ways that you've been behaving. Something's going to happen in your life that will allow you to be free in a way that you haven't before. And also to express yourself more authentically. There's a big piece of authenticity in your life. So it'll be interesting to see that, where that happens. For me, it's in my fifth house, which is creativity and children and play and many other things. But interestingly enough, the following 6 weeks, right after this happens, my oldest child is getting married. So that's kind of an interesting thing I've been looking at. I'm also attempting to commit myself to a creative project, both very fifth house oriented endeavors. Where is your Uranus-Jupiter conjunction? You can revolutionize your life there. Look at it. The other big pieces are the eclipses this year, which are March 25th, which is at 5 degrees Libra. And then afterwards, that great American eclipse that's going to be visible in the United States. And every time there is one that has visibility, it makes a big deal in the place where it is visible. It's always, always impactful if it connects with your astrological chart. So it is on April 8th, okay, in Aries. So we have a 5 degree Libra lunar eclipse. Something is ending. Eclipses are full moons. Full moons are about release. They're very much about culmination. And then we have a 19 degree solar eclipse in Aries. If you have points in Aries, this is where the action will be. This solar eclipse will conjoin with my fourth house cusp. It'll be in the third, but close enough. So something is ending and there's a new beginning around the themes of the third and the fourth, okay? Which is, you know, the third house is your communication, and it also represents
your siblings, and it represents writing and communicative projects, and it's a place of Gemini. It also is conjoined with my IC, the MM Coley, that's the bottom of the chart, and that represents where I come from. I'll tell you one of the things I've observed with the nodal axis in Libra and Aries, which is my ICMC, that top and bottom of the cross in my chart, is that all of these people from and with the North Node in Aries, close to my fourth house cusp, fourth house is where you come from, is that people from my childhood that I haven't seen in easily 40 years are coming up into my life. And I'm connecting with them. Either they're getting readings or I'm getting phone calls from them. It is so interesting. So there's, look where that is for you. Where are Aries and Libra in your astrological chart? The eclipses are there. Things are ending. New things are beginning. Lean into that. So 325, 5-degree Libra. Where is that in your astrological chart? Something is being released. April 8th, 19-degrees Aries. What is something that is some new, that is beginning? And this is a process, so it'll be, you know, happening for another year. Remember that sometimes, you know, just Jung said, just as circumstances or outside events happen to us, and they may seem to limit our freedom, so our own higher self acts upon the ego like an objective occurrence upon which sometimes our free will can do nothing. It looks like fate. 9/17, lunar eclipse at 25 degrees Pisces. This introduces the next theme for 2025, which will be an eclipse cycle in Virgo and Pisces. We'll have our first one in September. And then on October 2nd, a last Libra kind of solar eclipse, 10 degrees of Libra. Again, looking at where you have Libra in your astrological chart. So if you have that early degree, say Aquarius ascendant, maybe it's like 2 degrees, and you have a Leo 2-degree descendant or seventh house cusp. So that would be, you know, your Libra would be in your ninth house. This would be a solar eclipse in your ninth house. So take a look at where the eclipses are. You can write it down and you can look at it and think about, oh, it's going to land here. Oh, it's going to land here. And more importantly, all the what we call the personal planets, Mercury and Mars and Venus, they move pretty fast, right? So we're talking about 3 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, you know. But as they move through aspects of your chart, like right now we have a big lineup in Capricorn, including, you know, Venus and Mercury and Mars in Capricorn. What's happening in your astrology? What's going on, you know, right now? And I think that looking at, especially looking at your moon transits, right? The moon changes every 2.5 days, but when there's a full moon or when there's a new moon, where does that fall? That's a new lunation event. That is a new feeling event that'll change, you know, within weeks. But look at that. If you observe astrology right now and then just think, how am I feeling? What's going on? What are the themes in my life? You're going to be able to bring your astrology down to earth and observe it. You're going to use the scientific method of observation, you know, to, I guess you can consider this to be an experiment, right? To figure out how I feel. What are the energetic forces at play that are really making major aspects in my life and what's happening, both inwardly and outwardly? And then how can I use my free will and that ability to sort of observe it to potentially work on it or change it or to even change my mind about what's happening in my life and to understand, I guess, the interconnectedness or sympathy of all things through that observation.
I know this may sound kind of like, I don't know, I'm using a lot of highbrow, you know, words or I guess like philosophical concepts, but like life is happening all around us. Observe it and see how you can kind of jump in to the connection, you know, because whether you ignore it or not, it's still happening. And if you can jump in and observe it, you know, and really kind of like become more aware of what's happening energetically in your life, take that detached sort of objective, you know, this is happening anyway, you know, idea, then you can maybe make something happen. Maybe you can be less instinctual and feel less a victim of fate and more like a powerful player that is aware of these energies and working with them in a form of a co-creative manner. Maybe even changing them a little bit, right? Creating some magic. Anyway, okay, this is my input. As always, I'm probably rambling, but think about your astrology. You know, what's happening right now? And what is your potential for this year? And don't worry, okay? Don't worry about it. I want you to dig in with empowerment. We are all living in important times, interesting times. And the more that we can empower ourselves by thinking and observing ourselves and our environment and how we're acting and reacting, the more we can think for ourselves, the more we can use our critical faculties as well, the better off we will be. This is a hard time where we're being fed so much, you know, bizarre information, disinformation. But I really think that if we can just begin to look at pieces of information and then observe our own lives and our thoughts, that that might be how we can navigate our way through this immense time of change. All right. Sending you love.